It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're the Surfside Invitational at Ramblewood Country Club. It's been a long time since the Sixers have picked in the lottery, and we had to start looking at all these different college guys and deciding which one we want. And we thought, who better to give us some insight on those players and more than Phil Martelli. Phil, we appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks for including me.
Of course. So, Coach, like, before we get into the players, what about just, I guess, your just general, like, overview of where you see the Sixers situation right now? You know, we've had a lot of conversation about maybe turning the page to whatever's next, still trying to light a fire under this. When you're just looking at the Sixers, what do you see?
That's a really good question. I just think when you're so incomplete, whether it's McCain's injury or Embiid's lack of availability, Paul George getting hurt, I just think you have to say, what is this? And if you said to me, would you run it back? I would run it back. I don't know that there's a player out there, and I don't know enough about the trades. Their new assistant GM will be on top of it, though. You can be sure to that.
Yeah, I know you approve of that hire.
They'll make sure things go straight. I think in that league, it's really building a new team each year. And I don't know that last year's team really had any kind of continuity to be judged. And obviously everybody will then say, well, then blow it up. And blow it up and do what? With whom? Maxey wore down with the burden that he had to carry all year. I think that league is truly about having older players and guys who fit together. Can Paul George play with Embiid? I have no idea, and I don't think anybody out there has any idea if they can play together, because they didn't. And then you throw Maxey into the mix. It's a tough spot, though. I mean, it is clearly a tough spot, because everybody that is so passionate about 76er basketball has been through, you know, call it what it was, the process or the rebuild or however you want to term it. You have a guy that won a world championship on the sideline. You have a guy that was the MVP. There has to be something there. And I know it's hard to say, well, let's see it without changing it. Who are you going to get? You're going to get Giannis? You know, these pipe dreams of getting Giannis with, well, these trades, and I would run it back.
So we get the number three pick last night. I mean, what a moment in a night where we could have lost the pick completely. But I guess before we get to three, it seems like, well, there's consensus at Cooper Flagg at one, and it seems like there's some consensus with Dylan Harper at two. What do you think of those two guys?
Well, I think the marvel with Cooper Flagg is this. He should be going to prom, right? He should be going to high school graduation. He classed up at a time, you know, some would say, well, he wanted to be the clear number one. Well, he was clearly a number one and withstood any challenges at Duke. Broom at Auburn maybe was in the conversation for National Player of the Year. He was able to take his team to the Final Four, along with other gifted guys. I mean, whether they're going to have four guys drafted in the first round, so this wasn't the loaves and the fishes coaching job there. It was managing talent, which is hard enough to do. Flag is different. And I don't have a concern about Dylan Harper because of his DNA and how hard he works at the game. But just for a moment, if people could pause, somewhere on the checklist with him is his team did not make the NCAA tournament. Ace Bailey's team did not make the NCAA tournament. And we're well aware around here in Philadelphia, I hope, of a guy that was the number one, maybe he was number one, I don't remember. But his team didn't make the NCAA tournament, and he was a must-have after 1 year at LSU. How'd that work out?
Right.
Not good.
You're talking about Ben Simmons. And by the way, not to forget Markelle Fultz, also Markelle Fultz, number one, his team, I think, was under 500.
Like, college basketball obviously has changed in that it's older because you had this collision course of the COVID year. Forget NIL. It's pay-for-play. We had pay-for-play, the COVID year, and availability to transfer. That, this was an older year in college basketball. And I know they're both gifted. I saw Ace Bailey maybe two summers ago or three summers ago, going into his senior year in high school. He dominated a USA basketball tryout. That's the best of the best, playing at the best, not some of this Mickey Mouse stuff with high school all-star games or even summer basketball. When they go to USA basketball, that's where you get a true evaluation of, like, what's the pecking order here? Ace Bailey was head and shoulders above everybody who was at that time a college freshman and a rising college high school senior. So it's there. Does a guy like that fit, or Dylan Harper fit? I don't know enough about that league, to be honest with you, but I do know, like, on their resume is did not make the NCAA tournament as a freshman.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing you bring up, because I was going to ask you about it, and we talk about it all the time, is how can you have, you know, I have a lot of Rutgers fans in my life, and they're pushing Ace, you got to take Ace Bailey, and I just go back to, well, they had two top five picks, and they couldn't even be 500, and they talked to me about how bad the rest of the team was, and I'm like, okay, but still, you know, it is a, I don't know if it's a red flag, but it's certainly a yellow.
It raises your antennas.
Yeah. A couple of the other, oh, go ahead, I'm
something,
sorry.
Something to think about there, though, is, was that a byproduct of available funds? You know what I mean? Like, what were they attempting? And I'm not disparaging anybody. I'm just saying, were they trying to stay under a salary cap when you have to pay these two, you know, exorbitant fees for these two kids? And that, this is the thing that really irks me. Those two kids were rented for 35 games. How is that right? How can anybody in college basketball say, yeah, well, that's the way it is? It may be the way it is, but not the way it has to be. But that's a rant for another time.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's, I think if you were to ask everybody, do you think college players should be able to make money off of their names? I think all of us would say yes. But I don't think any of us imagined that it would end up like this, you know?
And absolutely, positively. And they came out with this idea, and here's what they did. They put you at the top of the hill. They said, get in the car and get to the bottom of the hill, and it's going to be unbelievable when you get to the bottom of the hill. But we want to tell you something. Your car has no brakes and no seatbelts. Good luck.
Right. Coach Phil Martelli with us. Phil, just one other guy I'd like to ask you about. We've heard a lot about VJ Edgecombe from Baylor, who is really your prototypical two guard, you know. What do you think of that guy?
I'm going to go back to when he was coming through the ranks and you were watching him, and I try to close my eyes and say, well, who is he like? Who is he like in that league? And not just a roster guy. Look, they're all extraordinary. To make that league, you well know, they have to be absolutely extraordinary. But to be in a situation where a guy coming to the Sixers and you're going to say, look, we collective Philadelphia basketball fans cannot go through this again. And of all of these guys, Edgecombe, me, looks like that NBA two guard. You're absolutely right. He's got toughness, and I'm following some of this on the combine. Like his supposedly out of world experience today was his vertical leap. Now I don't know how that matches up to like going into the garden, either Madison Square or Boston Garden. I don't know how that measures up, you know, like how we measure these guys. How about being a basketball player? Is he a basketball player? He is, and he's a bucket getter, which I think separates you in that league.
Well, watching some of the highlights, I can tell you that vertical leap happens in the games because I see him jumping over guys to dunk on them. So, I don't think it's just a combine thing. Coach,
go ahead. Interesting about that? I've always thought about this, like these unbelievable dunks. They only show up with the rarest of guys in the NBA. Because you know what? There's a man standing down there who's going to go like, nah, not today.
Right,
you're
yes.
not going to get me.
Last thing, Coach, and you mentioned it earlier, the Sixers promoted Jameer Nelson to assistant GM today. Now, what's it like for you to not just coach a guy through a successful college career, see him have an entire successful NBA career, and now move on to what looks to be the beginning of a successful, executive career? You must be proud. What's it like for you to see Jameer's entire life sort of evolve like that?
It makes me, it gives me chills often when I talk to him. And the way that, and we're talking like every 3 or 4 days, and like all of those things. Yes, extraordinary player, Mount Rushmore of college players in Philadelphia, 14 years in the pros, and now he takes this path. And he came along and they said to him, "Well, figure out how you're going to do this in the G League," and he did, and he's the general manager. And isn't it ironic that 2 years ago they won the G League with Jameer Nelson as their general manager? Chester High won a state championship. Why? Jameer Nelson was on the court. We were the number one team in the country. Why? Because we had Jameer and the others didn't. Now he's the GM. So choose your path. Choose your path. And always remember, like, this is a young guy from Curlin Street in Chester. And of all of the things that he's done, professionally, the most extraordinary thing about Jameer Nelson that we should all follow is he is a remarkable father. A remarkable father.
Coach, we really appreciate your time. It'll be interesting to see what the Sixers do, whether they take somebody at three, whether they trade it, whatever they do. But it'll be fun looking at college players again to see which one will be on the Sixers. We really appreciate your time today.
Thanks for including me.
Yes, of course.
Thank you. Yep.
Coach Phil Martelli. Jameer Nelson was awesome.
Yeah.
As a player.
Yeah, always has been. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he's always been a very, like, I can't speak to him as a father. Of course, Phil Martelli can.
Sure.
But as a guy, when you see him, he's always a good man. But, like, as a player, and we know he's a fantastic college player. I loved him as an NBA player. He was on those Orlando teams that were awesome. I don't know. He makes me think of a time in basketball. Like, he's one of those guys that I associate with that era of the NBA.
Yeah, listen, we got to watch Jameer come up through those ranks of high school and then go to St. Joe's and the remarkable run they went on, he and Delonte West, those guys. Wasn't it a Carroll kid?
Yeah, Pat Carroll.
Yeah, Pat Carroll. Yeah,
he beat me in the camera free throw shooting contest.
Right? Didn't he not?
Right.
Didn't he not miss any?
Dude, he went 50 for 50.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yes. So that St. Joe's team certainly captured the hearts of the country, and us being here in Philadelphia watching them do what they did, coming up short, making it to the Final Four, but they made it to the Elite Eight.
Yep.
I believe they did.
Lost to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, lost Lucas. Right. Lost to John Lucas and them. Young John Lucas.
Still more fun than the two Nova teams.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know about that, but okay.
215?
Yes.
Well, I feel like there was something about the St. Joe's team that sort of swept up the city during the season that I don't
remember.
I agree.
They were more of a although they were good all year.
Well, they were undefeated.
They were the number one team in the country.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think everybody sort of got into that. I don't know if it's because they're in the city, maybe, but
I think that was part of it.
It was part of it. I think everybody, those Villanova, the tournament runs were awesome, but there was something about that season of St. Joe's that I felt like everybody got into.
Man, and everybody remembers the team, so that's how you know it had that impact.
Yep. Dude, we had St. Joe's, Smarty Jones. I mean, not a bad.
And the Eagles. Don't forget about us.
We'll never forget about the Eagles. But the other thing besides the Eagles. I know, I got to put the disclaimer out. The Eagles are the number one team in the city. We also had the opening CVP and Randy Wolf and Bobby Abreu. No, I'm just kidding. But I love that 04 Hawks 20 years ago.
Now, Jameer, it's awesome that he's now with the Sixers as an assistant general manager. And you know he's going to be a general manager.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, you know he's going to be a GM at some point.
Well, who knows if it's here, but, you know, Elton Brand's staying here this year, but he was mentioned as a candidate for the Hawks job.
Yeah.
And Elton Brand will be a GM in the next couple of years. And maybe, who knows, maybe Jameer Nelson's opportunity to be GM is here.
Paying his dues, man. Yep. Paying his dues.
It's good to see Morey surround himself with some basketball people.
He does. He does. He always talks about how valuable Elton is. And by the way, Elton was GM of the G League as well.
Well, I mean, Elton Brand did pick Tyrese Maxey.
All right. I forgot. But if Tyrese Maxey wasn't good, who would have picked him?
Daryl Morey.
That's right. Okay. 215-592-9494. Al in Uptown, you're on WIP. What's up, Al?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's up, Al?
What up, Al?
Oh, man, I can't. I'm complaining. So as I sat there and listened to Phil Martelli, He kind of like dampened my hopes of what I was thinking, but I still think that if we're unable to trade up to get Flag, then
well, we're not doing that.
Yeah. Hold on, Maxey.
Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, go ahead, Al.
Yeah.
If we're unable to trade up and get Flag, then I kind of still want to get Bailey because I think that if you surround him with the talent that's on our roster. He would eventually evolve into something special. The kid's still growing, and from what I've seen when he played, he was pretty good. I mean, not even just pretty good. He was pretty dominant in a lot of the games that he played in. And yeah, I get the whole Ben Simmons comp, but he's not Ben Simmons. He's just not. I'm sorry.
Well, they didn't make the tournament. That's where the comp came.
Yeah, the comp is that they both played for college teams that should have been better.
Yeah, I agree with that. I honestly do agree with that. I thought that they would make the tournament, but, they went like almost, 500, which, that ain't it. But
Well, let me ask you this, Al. What happens if, and I'll throw this to you two as well, what happens if San Antonio takes Ace Bailey?
Then the Sixers, I think, take Dellen Harper.
And have another short guard?
That's what I'm saying, guard?
You figure it out.
I don't want Harper. I don't want Harper's son. I want the other kid that Phil was talking about.
EJ. VJ.
Edgecombe.
Yeah.
Or Trey Johnson.
If Bailey's not on there, then I'll take Edgecombe.
And by the way, Dellen Harper's not a small guard. Like, he's a guard.
6'5".
He's like 6'7".
He's 6'7"?
He's 6'7".
Hey, in my eyes, he looks
6'7". Okay. Well, they got him listed as 6'6" here.
Yeah, okay, right. There you go.
He's a big guard.
Yeah, he's a Drew Holiday-sized guard, not a Maxey size guard.
He might be Harden, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know about that. He looks 6'5 to me.
All right.
Okay.
I also had – is it okay for me to talk a little Eagles?
Of course, go on, always. They're the number one team in the city.
Two-time champs, defending champs.
Yep, sorry, not allowed.
That's right. And Jack and Spike are NFL simps. I'll throw that out there.
What does that mean?
No,
I think that that schedule – I like all the primetime games. I'm becoming a big fan of it. I like my 1 o'clock games because it gives me a chance to have peace in the house. The kids get to rally around and actually watch the game with me. But those night games, man, it's something about – like, I just keep thinking about, like, when they played, like, Baltimore at night. It was just, like, something special about that. Mm-hmm. And I really can't wait to see this season. I think Jalen Hurts is going to improve greatly this season. Mm-hmm. He only throws 20 times a game. Well, if he throws 20 times a game and he's averaging 250 to 275 yards,
he wasn't.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I would too, but he wasn't.
No, I'm saying this year. This year.
That'd be great.
Yep.
Because everything I've heard, I know some people that know that are kind of close to a situation. He's been throwing like like every week, every like a lot since the Super Bowl. So
quarterbacks throwing.
No, I mean, right, you said wild quarterbacks throwing, but there are quarterbacks sitting at home not doing anything. You know,
I agree.
I mean?
We don't know that.
I think we could all agree, Al, that we think Jalen Hurts is working hard this offseason.
Yes.
He's one guy we have no doubt about. Yep.
Yeah, I think that if he just makes incremental changes to, you know, his throwing motion and stuff like that and just processing, I think that he'll be much better. Sure. And I'm excited to see that because I really think that he's going to take that next step. And our offense will lead our defense and we'll probably go back to the Super Bowl and probably win.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, Al.
My outlandish guy, or the guy that's out there, Orlando Brown, uncontested.
Orlando Brown.
Y'all know who Orlando Brown is?
Yeah, he's in That's So Raven.
Yeah, that is your time.
Yeah, yes. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know Orlando Brown.
No, you're right.
That's So Raven.
That's how you know him. Yes,
I remember him.
I don't think. What would I know Orlando Brown from aside from That's So Raven? Is he was a comedian?
Major Pain.
Oh, okay. I remember Major Pain.
He was a kid in Major Pain.
And was he out there?
Oh yeah, he's out there.
Oh really?
Yeah. Right. Drugged out.
Oh, that kind of out.
There's not a podcast he won't turn down going.
Yeah, he got to make his money somehow.
Yeah, I know.
All right, 215-592.
I got more now since he went there. I got plenty of more.
Whoa!
Oh wow! Now we're hitting microphones. This guy's out of control.
The Ike Surfside Invitation. You surfside it up over there, buddy?
Not anymore. 215-592-9494.
The Sixers now have the third pick. Have you been given hope again? Because I have. I'm feeling good today about the Sixers. They didn't do anything aside from sit there, but they got the number three pick.
Right.
And I think it's exciting. Something else that's exciting. Enormous news in Major League Baseball coming up next. I mean,
I'm excited.
Enormous, enormous, enormous news. Something that we have been waiting on for years. Talk about Cloud 9. This news puts Ike on Cloud 9.
Yes, it does.
We will talk about that next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz on the road yet again. Yesterday at the Franklin Music Hall in Philly. Different vibe here.
We have been on tour for the last 5 days.
Dude, yes. Last year we had the tour to Delco. This year we're all over the place.
We had the tour to golf. Yeah. Well, yesterday.
Which makes you so happy.
Well, I like being around golf. It's a nice vibe.
It's a nice
I'll
vibe.
Admit that. It's a nice vibe.
There you
nice
go.
Vibe.
There Man, you go. We're going to get you on a course next year.
Doing what?
I don't know.
Yeah, not playing golf. We're at the Surfside Invitational at Ramblewood Country Club. Different vibe here than was at Franklin Music Hall yesterday.
For sure.
A little bit louder yesterday. A little more today. This is a laid-back fun vibe instead of psychotic fun vibe, which was yesterday.
I'm a big laid-back fun vibe.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah.
That's you. You're a back porch guy.
Oh, dude, don't tempt me with a good time. Crowds, back porch by myself. Peak.
So, huge story here. Now, I got to say, this is from ESPN writer Don Van Natta Jr.
Confirmed all over the place.
Yeah, confirmed all over the place. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred removes Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson from MLB's permanent ineligible list. Rose and Jackson, baseball's two pariahs stained by gambling, now have a clear pathway for consideration for baseball's Hall of Fame. Who would have... Now, of course,
Ike clapping.
Yeah, Cincinnati kid.
They wait until Pete Rose passes away.
Pete's nickname.
I mean, I think everybody agrees at this point, like, it was time. I mean, it sucks that it happened after he passed away.
Yeah.
And he got, you know, I think he understood it in the beginning, and he got angrier about it as he got older. Mm-hmm. I do think, to a certain extent, all pro sports, baseball not alone, their involvement in legal gambling, sort of the every year that passes, people look at this and they go, well... You know,
everybody's gambling.
Yeah.
Not on their sport.
Right. Yes. And I think we'd all agree for sure Shoeless Joe Jackson did something wrong and Pete Rose did something wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, you being a Cincinnati kid, grew up with Pete Rose as I'm sure an idol.
Man,
how are you feeling now? An icon.
Icon in the city of Cincinnati. Statue outside the stadium. Pete Rose is... I mean, how do you tell the story of baseball without including Pete Rose about the history of the game? He's the all-time hit leader. I'm not speaking about character or anything else he may have been accused of or anything else. I'm just talking strictly baseball. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And as a lifelong Cincinnati Reds fan, Pete Rose is arguably the biggest sports figure to come through Cincinnati. So that's how he is revered down there still to this day. And so I'm pretty sure they're rejoicing a lot knowing that he has at least a chance to get into the Hall of Fame. And a lot of people sort of we would joke about it, tongue in cheek and all of that, but we would all intimate that it's probably going to happen after he dies.
Right.
And so that's – he was last year he passed away, or yep. 2 years ago?
Last year.
Yeah, so they didn't even wait that long after he passed away to actually do this. So that lets you know that they were waiting for him to potentially pass away so that he didn't get a chance to enjoy it himself. I guess that was the ultimate punishment they wanted to inflict on him. I wish he would have gotten a chance to do it, but I understand – as long as he gets in there, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. So hopefully this is a pathway that he will eventually get voted in.
I think wondering about the vote is an interesting thing as well, because not only does he have to be eligible, he has to get voted in.
Yep.
And Pete Rose played long enough ago now. Like, so you have the younger people, and when I say younger, I actually just mean 30s, 40s, mm-hmm. who look at the steroid era, and they're the people who are like, why are we not voting those people
right.
in?
Correct.
Whereas the older people, the, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, will not vote those guys in. However, Pete Rose is now even before that. So the 30 and 40-year-olds, you know, saw some of Barry Bonds and
right.
Roger Clemens and those Mark McGwire. Mm-hmm. They didn't see Pete Rose.
Right.
So I guess my question, and I don't hear young people talking, but they'll talk about why isn't Barry Bonds in the Hall
right.
of Fame, but not they, I don't hear them mention Pete Rose. So I guess my I don't know how voters will look at it and whether they will punish him for what he did, regardless of whether he's eligible or not. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there is a movement. So I know some of the older voters will still punish him, and some of the older voters will want him in. My question is actually with the younger voters and whether they care enough to vote or you know, like, who's going to lead the charge now to get Pete Rose into the Hall
yeah.
of Fame? Because I think he'll need it. Like, I think he will need somebody to lead the charge mm. and start showing people, because Pete Rose retired a long time ago.
Yeah.
Start showing people, this is what he did as a player, you know? This is not just as an individual player, but as a winner, as part of the Big Red Machine, coming to Philadelphia and being sort of the spiritual leader on some level of that team. So I wonder if there is an advocate, if there's somebody to lead the charge to get him into the Hall of Fame.
Well, it's probably going to start with a lot of his former teammates.
Right.
Start there. Those guys can speak publicly about it.
Yep.
Maybe some of those older guys that were voters are no longer with us, that were holding it against Pete Rose
yep.
and wouldn't vote for him. So maybe they aren't there anymore. And the younger generation of voters, I actually feel more confident, and I hope I'm not proven wrong, but I feel more confidence in those voters than I do the older people, because they are the ones who are holding the grudge. The young people, because of the times that we've grown in and where we're at now, they may be a little more forgiving. And you can just convince them with numbers and
yeah.
championships, because they're not harboring the ill feeling of Pete Rose stained the game and all this other stuff.
And because the numbers are irrefutable. Like,
there's no
numbers argument against it.
Yeah.
I also wonder, too, and you mentioned the off-field stuff, is that whoever becomes an advocate, the first thing, I don't think they're going to throw the betting thing at him. I think they'll start throwing the off-the-field stuff at him. And it's look, the Hall of Fame, all the Hall of Fames are full of players who have done bad things.
Exactly, yes.
The character clause?
The character stuff. Full of players. But the question becomes, do people have the stomach to advocate for Pete Rose to be in the Hall of Fame and get those things thrown at them?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, to be able to separate the on
that's
and off.
That's what I said, what I just said. So you're
yep.
right. Even if you're just looking at it from me, if someone were to throw that back at me, I don't have a defense for that.
Right. Yep.
I don't have a defense for that. I'm not going to excuse it. I'm not about to sit here and act as if it didn't happen or whatever, because I don't know. But what I will say, if I'm just judging him on baseball, that's how I would vote him in. But you're right. There may be people that will also want that part clarified or at least explained.
Yes.
As to why would I vote for this guy when he's been accused of this as well, especially in this climate.
Jack, you so you're 31.
Yeah.
And a huge baseball
going
guy.
Going on 21.
Going on 21. Huge
I
respect.
I disagree. I think I'm pretty grown. I'm well, like 28.
On some level, Jack is 31 going on 61. Yeah. And on some levels, he's 31 going on 12.
Exactly right. It Keep people on their toes.
Yeah. So you and your age of baseball fan, when someone mentions Pete Rose to you, like, what do you think? What do you think the energy is going to be from that, you know, generation of fans about Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame?
I think our generation will look more at the off-the-field stuff. I think they'll look at the character clause stuff.
Yeah.
And it'll overtake what he did on the field. Personally.
Oh, really?
I do. Obviously, you know, the case is you look at his baseball reference.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
It's like, on some levels, it's sort of wiltish.
Of course, the number
of years he played and the amount of hits he
had. My only hope with this is I hope it eventually leads to letting Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame. And
they better let Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame.
I just, Barry Bonds, A-Rod was talking about it yesterday. Like, everyone's talking about Shohei Ohtani being the best player they've
it's
ever
not
seen.
Even close.
Barry Bonds.
That was a different level.
Yeah. Barry Bonds is the best singular player to ever. I mean, like, you know, Judge is doing what Barry Bonds did for an entire season. You know, if you look at his baseball reference, it's ridiculous. You know, so if we're gonna start doing this with letting Pete Rose in, I also think that if we're gonna character clause, what like Barry Bonds deserves to be in as well.
I agree.
And all like again, if we're gonna
Roger Clemens too,
you can't tell the history of baseball without the guy who leads all of baseball
the
in home runs.
Yeah.
Mark McGwire should be in there. You don't think so?
I think he's got a little bit more of a questionable case.
Okay,
A-Rod's
definitely in.
Yes. Clemens,
for sure.
Bonds,
yes,
those are the big ones.
Yeah.
And Clemens is another guy that you look at.
Seven times Cy Young.
Well, you look at the baseball card again, and you're like.
It's not even real.
Yeah, it doesn't seem possible.
Yes.
You know? Seven
times Cy Young Award winner?
Do you know how good you have to be for people to not get tired of voting for you?
Exactly, yes. They kept voting for him.
It's like Jordan level.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
You have to be so much better than everybody else that nobody even has a case for anybody else.
I don't know why I thought it was five. Seven times Cy Young.
Seven. And he won his last one at 42.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Well, that's when we know he was.
Wow. I was so mad when the Clemens. I was such a Clemens head.
Oh, he's incredible.
I was so mad. Now, can we get a live reaction from Shoeless Joe?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, who's arguing in his case?
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know, man. His numbers are also ridiculous.
Well, yeah, but like.
He threw a World Series.
Yeah,
I mean,
like,
really.
Come on.
It was over 100 years ago.
He threw a World
I think he's
series.
Paid the price already. He's paid the price?
Wish I had odds.
I mean, Manfred called it a hunk of metal.
He did. Yeah, he did. Pratt regrets that one. Manfred's heated up since the COVID.
He has.
He's figured it out.
215-592-9494. You know, if there was a Hall of Fame of places to buy a brand new car, Colonial Hyundai would be the only one.
I thought we was going somewhere else.
Oh, no. We'll have that later. I don't want to mix up the two, but we'll have that later. I just bring up the Hall of Fame right beforehand so I can do it. Colonial is famous for a lot of things. I would say top line Colonial Hyundai, what the car czar John Ashdale does, is they want everything to be fast, easy, better at Colonial. Make your experience better. And they have two things that people have always loved. And they're going to give you an opportunity to choose between those two until May 31st. Option one, walk into Colonial, look at one of their over 200 brand new Hyundais on the lot and get 20% off. 20% off any brand new Hyundai in stock. That's choice number one. Choice number two, you might have a piece of junk at home that you're trading in and you don't think it's worth anything. They'll give you $6,500 for your trade guaranteed. So they just want to make sure you walk in there, you're going to get 0% financing, all that stuff. But they're going to you have the chance to choose between two of their greatest deals, 20% off any new Hyundai in stock or $6,500 for your trade. One thing you don't have to choose, every new Hyundai is going to come with 3 years of complimentary maintenance and America's best warranty, 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Online, 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. 215-592-9494. Neil in Palm. You're on WIP. Wow. What's up, Neil?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Wow.
What's up, Neil? Are you speaking through a sock?
Hold on,
Jack.
Are you underwater?
Yeah, I'm gonna put him on hold. But why don't you see if he's speaking through a sock or something?
Yeah.
Just a bit. Maybe he was just trying to be like, you know.
Quiet.
Yeah, quiet.
So real quick though, from Shams. So Jason Tatum did tear his right Achilles tendon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man, that sucks.
Season ender.
Well, and next season.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a year
injury.
Next season's
done.
Next season.
Well, and then you wonder about his career. Yep. Achilles is a wonder about
it's
his
a tough
career.
Tough one, yeah.
It just proves I don't give my podcast partner, Mike, very much credit.
Of course
for
not.
His takes.
It's all your terrible. Success.
Yep. Yep. But one take he has is we always make this assumption that when a team wins a championship, they're in the NBA, that, oh, my God, we're looking at the next 5 years of
dynasty.
Dominance.
Yeah.
And we did it with Jokic.
Yep.
And they followed it up with not a championship. They're having a pesky this year. Did it with Giannis. I don't think Giannis has only been past the first round once since they won a championship. And then you do it with Boston last year. And you look at – and Boston was awesome last year. And they were actually – They didn't even have nearly as great a year. They won 61 games this year.
Yeah.
But they're not going to win the championship this year. And it really just it opens your eyes to you have a chance. And it used to be in the NBA when there were, you know, when the Heatles were there or the Spurs or the Jordan's Bulls that oh no, here's the mountain we have to climb.
Yeah.
But
or the Shaq and Kobe
the
Lakers.
Shaq and Kobe
yeah.
Lakers.
Yeah.
Here's a mountain you have to climb. But it doesn't really happen in the NBA that often. And you have teams like the Cavs winning 60 games. They're not going to be in there. Mm-hmm. The Thunder won 68 games. Who knows how long their run is going to be. So I don't know. If you're a fan of the Sixers or any other NBA team and you think, oh, no, we have this great team in the conference, Celtics may never get to the finals again.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what? It's going to be tough for them to come back from this 3-1 series.
Especially without Tatum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they are a deep team.
They're deep. They are deep.
They're a deep team. I wonder. I mean, you like Joe up there coaching.
Joe Mazzulla? I love Joe Mazzulla. My favorite coach in the NBA.
The 3-1 hole is hard to dig themselves out of.
It's
hard to win this series coming back winning three straight.
But I would tell you this. If the series started 0-0 and it was the Celtics without Tatum versus the Knicks, the Celtics would be the favorite.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you're right. Like, if it started off as an even series like this,
they would still be the favorite. They wouldn't be a minus 800 favorite like they were, but I think they would be a minus 200 favorite.
I agree.
And here's a reason, you know, why I love Joe Mazzulla. Tatum gets injured. They ask Mazzulla about it afterwards, and he's like, "It's bad for Jason Tatum, but we got to think about winning Game 5."
And he's right. Yeah.
And the guy just tore his Achilles.
Yeah. He's such a psycho.
He's a psychopath. And that's why I like him. 215-592-9494. Jack in Quakertown. You're on WIP. What's up, Jack?
Hey, guys. I think all three of you are a bunch of jerks.
Okay.
I really do. Because
all right, thank you.
Having Pete Rose. Listen, you guys. I listen to you every day. Every day. And I enjoy it.
Okay.
I never call. Never, ever call.
So the first time you call, first time you call, you decide to call up and insult us.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Especially you.
Oh.
Okay. Well, don't worry. I'll fire back in a minute. I'm going to let you get it out,
though. Yes, I will.
I know I will. You tread lightly as you won't get it out.
Hold up.
Tread lightly or you won't get it out. So understand that. Understand that part first. So I'm going to let you go ahead and finish, and then I'll reply when you get done. Go right ahead.
You got it.
But keep your insults. Keep your insults to the last one you just made about us being jerks, okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Because I really do. I like you guys. I really do.
Well, and I want to like you. I want to like you, but you calling up with insults instead of just disagreeing with us and explaining why you disagree with our opinion, you're going to cause me not to like you. So let's go ahead and keep this thing rolling.
That's fair enough. Okay. So the way we were brought up is that you have integrity and you don't cheat. You just don't cheat. So, like, are you going to tell your kids, or Jack, are you going to tell your kids that it's okay to cheat? Are you going to do that?
No.
Okay. So why in the world would you guys advocate that this guy and Joe Jackson, which I don't know anything about, but I do know about Pete Rose.
Okay.
I was down in Florida one time at a dog race with a guy that happened to sit with Johnny Bench and Pete Rose watching. The people down there said, listen, I got two guys, you have a normal seat, can they sit with you? And he said, okay. Johnny Bench and Pete Rose sat with this guy, and he said by the end of the day, he couldn't stand Pete Rose. The guy was just a jerk. He was just a bad dude. So why in the world, just because you have numbers, does that entitle you to be involved in the Hall of Fame? I don't agree with it.
So you're saying he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame because he's a jerk?
Well,
but that's all you talked about. You haven't talked about gambling on baseball.
That's part
right,
of
that's
it.
That's what he got suspended for. That's what he got banned from baseball for gambling on baseball while he was the manager.
Go ahead, Ike. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's what he got suspended for. That's what he was banned for, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Would you think that that's good enough for him to get in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Because he gambled? Because I believe, what was that, 40, 35 years ago?
Does that change anything?
Well, I mean, everybody who makes a mistake or does something wrong and they're punished for it, they don't get a chance to get redemption from that?
Yes, but he lied about it the whole time.
I understand. And they also kept him out of the Hall of Fame for the rest of his life while he was living. So he didn't get to enjoy that, right? Even though we all know he's a Hall of Fame baseball player. You say you follow baseball, I'm gonna trust your eyes that you watch Pete Rose and know that Pete Rose was a Hall of Fame baseball player. Am I correct in that?
But there's more to the Hall of Fame than just numbers.
I understand that. I'm just, you ask why I feel the way I do. I heard why you do. I'm telling you, based on his numbers and the fact that he was punished, and it's been 30-plus years, maybe even longer, and now he's passed away, I think enough time has already passed that I'm okay, and I would be happy that he does get in the Hall of Fame.
Okay,
you can't tell the history of the game without Pete Rose. So what are you going to do? Just ignore the fact that Pete Rose played baseball for 20-plus years and he's the all-time hit leader?
I understand that.
Okay.
And you were saying about Barry Bonds and all the other guys.
Yeah.
Is that I was my grandfather and Danny Murtaugh, he used to sit in the dugout with him, and he'd tell me about Willie Stargell, Roberto Clemente, and everything. And he told me about Barry Bonds, just all of a sudden he's some skinny kid that all of a sudden became, you know, this superhero. And come on now, we got to draw a line somewhere. You got to put a line. You got to stand for something or you fall for everything. You can't just let this stuff go. You just can't.
Sure I can. And now let me address the point about what I would tell my kids. I would tell my kids that you do something wrong, it doesn't mean you spend the rest of your life paying for it. It all depends on what it is, obviously. It depends on what it is. We make mistakes as humans in life.
Every day.
And then you can be punished for it, and you can pay your penance to society, right? And then you get the chance at redemption and show that you've changed and show that you've learned from that and you've grown from that.
Okay.
So that's what I would tell my kids. That's what I tell my kids, that nobody is perfect.
I agree.
And I can't sit in a glass house and throw stones.
I agree with you.
Because I don't like somebody. I can't do that. So
that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying if I like him or don't like him. I'm saying is that he kept on lying.
You clearly don't like him.
He kept on lying on top of everything he said. He just lied and lied and lied until they finally proved that he did that. So... Mm-hmm. I agree with, believe me, 99% of the time, everything you say, I agree with. And I had to call.
That's fine. Listen, I don't think you'll be the only one who disagrees with me on this. Okay. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not the end-all to be-all as far as I just happen to give my opinion about it. And Pete Rose may mean something different to you than he means to me.
That's true.
So you're speaking to somebody who grew up with Pete Rose as a hero in the same hometown that Pete Rose is from. That's why I'm giving you my perspective on this. I can respect your opinion on it and respect your perspective on it. But what you can't do is call up here and call us a bunch of jerks because we don't have the same opinion as you have. We don't talk to our callers that way.
You're right.
Because we disagree.
Enough.
Okay. I'm hot under the collar right now, and I'm trying to come down, and so I want to get back in a good place. All right, so we're good?
No. Right. Can I say one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
Tell Jack Fritz that my father listened to the game in Hershey when Wilt Chamberlain scored 100
he
points.
Scored his 100. Did he see it?
No, he listened to it on the radio.
Well, all right. How about Jack? Oh, you know what I see right now? I see Joel Embiid running through the golf course. He's running four. He's running.
No, he got you.
He just did a six-minute mile.
Oh, this lady was off. She's
he did
so
a six-minute mile. He did a six-minute mile, and then he just jumped over a whole person.
Okay.
See what you just heard on the radio? Doesn't mean it happened.
Believe it or you don't.
Yeah. All right. All right, Jack. Thank you for the call,
all
buddy.
All right.
See, that ended okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got him through it.
We had to talk our way through.
Yeah, you talked your way through.
I did because I was trying to talk myself down.
Yeah, I know. Felt it. I heard it. I heard it.
Then I would tell Walker and Sutton, it's a museum of baseball. Take a deep breath.
It's not a museum of the best people. It's a museum of the best players, you know?
Yeah.
And whatever.
And sometimes our heroes disappoint us.
Yes. You know. Speaking of something that'll disappoint you, Jack Fritz has the top 5 at 5 coming up next.
That's nice.
Let's bring this right down.
Yeah. What's coming up in the top 5?
Oh, the top 5 worst versions of Spike.
Oh, no, you're not.
Yeah, back again. Oh. Worst versions of Spike.
I feel like you do this every week.
Why do you keep updating them?
Okay. I know what's coming up is number one. I really do. All right. The top 5 worst versions of me. This is what I signed up for. We're at the Surfside Invitational at Ramblewood Country Club. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.